Thanks for joining us today. At City Life, we have one purpose, making it easy for people to say yes to Jesus. We believe today's message will empower you to do exactly that. But remember that church is so much more than a sermon you listen to. It's a living, breathing community that we invite you to be a part of. We hope to see you on a Sunday morning at City Life.
We're invited to open our eyes and see new life. Open our minds and believe new life, because Jesus is risen and with him new creation has come into being. This is what we're celebrating today, Easter Sunday. So why Easter? Well, for the Easter story to have impact, you need to know the backstory that tells the bigger story that Easter is a part of. See, without the backstory, Easter could be mistaken for simply the happy ending to a dark, despair-filled event called the crucifixion. And we can mistakenly think that Easter was simply a sign of what believers in Jesus could expect when they die, that they'd be resurrected just like Jesus. But Easter is so much bigger than this. See, Easter is a climactic plot twist in a story that had been unfolding since before creation. A story that had started up beautiful and breathtaking as God spoke and breathed creation into existence. As God formed the masterpiece of creation, creatures made in his likeness called humans. However, instead of following the plot line of God's story, humanity tried to become the authors of the story, and in doing so, they broke everything, including themselves. But Jesus, God in the flesh, came to earth to fix the storyline that humanity had broken. He came to rewrite God's hope and healing back into the story that was heading towards a really bad ending. And he did this at the cross, where all the broken and dislocated pieces of creation and the broken and disobedient creatures called humans were in him put to death. He absorbed it all, the sin, the rebellion, the hatred, pain, anger, and frustration of the world. His execution dealt the death blow to the dark forces that had stalled the storyline, and in the greatest, most epic plot twist ever, what many had believed would only happen at the end of the story was suddenly coming forward into the future, into the present. God's healing, restoring new creation was starting now. The spoken word through whom all things were originally made was now the living word through whom all things were remade. Jesus' resurrection was the first day of the new week of new creation. The story has been reset. And what God did in Jesus on Easter is a taste of what God is now going to accomplish in the rest of the world. This is the what and why of Easter. God has started something brand new, his new creation, a new reality, one that requires a different way of seeing, because at times it can be difficult to believe that anything has changed. See, we've heard God is good, yet we see so much that's not good in our world. We've been told God is just, so why do sin and evil happen to good people? We've been told God loves you, yet we still feel intense rejection, like we're never good enough. We've maybe heard God answers prayers, but ours seem to have gone unanswered. Has something actually changed since Easter? Well, think of it like this. Have you ever watched the sunrise? Well, it's still mostly dark, but then you begin to see the faint light on the horizon. You might even start to see lumps or shapes outlined in the dark. But even though there's no sign yet of the actual sun, the light of dawn is starting to reveal the lumps and shapes as cars or houses or even ducks. Yes, they are still very much shadows, but you're starting to see more clearly what they actually are. God's new creation reality begun at Easter, his kingdom come at long last to earth, is a bit like the rising sun. Right now, it seems quite dark. We could think, really? Something has changed? But if we have eyes of faith, we can look around and see lumps or shapes. Sometimes we can even see the details of this new creation reality in when someone is healed or gets free from an addiction, or a marriage is restored, or forgiveness is given. Grace is extended instead of revenge, or there's joy in spite of difficult circumstances, or peace in the middle of storms, or we experience God's presence in a simple or maybe even profound way. All of these are whispers or signs of God's kingdom, God's new creation that's beginning to peek through on earth. But one day, when the sun is fully visible, we'll see the full picture of what God has been doing in healing and renewing his world. You know, I wonder if that's why the writers retelling the resurrection story all emphasize the same thing. In Matthew, he says, early on Sunday morning as the new day was dawning. And then over in Mark says it was very early in the morning as the first streaks of light were beginning to be seen in the sky. And Luke says on early Sunday morning, even before the sun had fully risen. I love that. And then in John says early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. See, even though our world is still quite dark, even though there are only a few streaks of light, Jesus' resurrection really was a picture of what God was doing, not just for Jesus, but for all his creation, something that impacts our now life, not just our afterlife. So you're telling me there are two realities. What does that even mean? How does that help me in my everyday life? I don't know if I believe all that stuff. Well, maybe that's where you're at. Well, you're actually more familiar with this way of living than you might think. For example, the internet. You don't need to fully understand how the internet or even virtual reality works in order to experience the reality and benefits of it in your life. You know what? We just use it. We just click on our browser. We open up Instagram or Snapchat or some other app without even giving a second thought of how does this work. We just trust that when we hit tap, it'll open up this other reality that we can access and communicate and do things through. So you don't have to fully get how new creation works in order to experience the power and reality and benefits of it in your life. You can be confused by it and still experience the benefits of it in day-to-day life. It's real. So, what does all this mean for us? Well, let's go back to the story. It's Easter Sunday, Jesus' resurrection. It wasn't the happy ending. It was an incredible new beginning. Day one of the new week of new creation. Jesus' resurrection was a sign that God was starting something new. God was renewing his creation. See, where a living tree had once brought about death, a dead tree had now brought about life. Life greater than anyone had ever imagined. A new creation story was beginning to unfold. See, whereas the original humans had broken the storyline, this time Jesus was setting it right. See, what had been broken and distorted in old creation, Jesus was now healing and restoring. What did that look like? If you've grown up in church or are familiar even with the Easter story, see, a lot of us are familiar with the dark side of Easter. The cross side of Easter. But what about after Jesus rose from the dead? So usually the post-resurrection story, it comes across as almost anticlimactic because, well, let's be honest, dead guy comes back to life. That is cool. Everything else, yeah. Resurrect a dead guy, that's awesome. But what if there was something more going on? What if something had actually happened that changed everything? What if post-resurrection accounts weren't just a few random stories? They were eyewitness accounts. What if the people who saw Jesus, the people he revealed himself to after his resurrection, what if they weren't just random appearances? What if there was some type of significance in all of those exchanges? See, if we were to mash the post-resurrection story into one big story, this is how it would look. And if we pay attention, we'll discover some clues that might reveal a bigger story that God is unfolding. So, here's what happened on Easter Sunday. It was early in the morning, still dark. A group of women make their way to the tomb, thinking to apply the burial spices to Jesus' body because they hadn't had time to prepare his body on Friday. On their way, they're like, oh yeah, what about that huge rock that's sealing the tomb? Only when they arrive, they discover the stone had already been rolled away. Jesus' body was gone, and everything gets crazy from here. Mary, she runs to tell Peter. The other women, they sit at the tomb where they encounter some angels. And the angels tell the girls to go tell the disciples and Peter what they've seen. Well, obviously, the angels don't even know Mary has already done that. So the girls run off and somehow they miss Peter and John, who already are on their way running to the tomb. Peter and John find the tomb empty and they go back home. Mary, though, she's gone back to the tomb and this time has an encounter with Jesus himself. Clue number one. And from here, Jesus starts his disappearing act. Mary, she leaves again, probably heading back to the boys, and then boom, Jesus meets the other women who are running into town. Jesus tells them the same thing the angels had said, go tell the boys. So the girls tell the disciples they've actually seen Jesus. The guys don't believe them, and everyone is baffled. Well, in the meantime, two other disciples, they're walking to a village called Emmaus when Jesus suddenly shows up on the road with them. However, God kept them from recognizing him. And instead of going, hey guys, it's me, Jesus starts telling them Bible stories. And then later, as they're having supper together, as he breaks the bread, and then suddenly their eyes were open and they recognized him. It's clue number two. And then Jesus disappears again. These two disciples, they rush off to find the other disciples. They find them all together. They're scared. They're in a locked room and they begin telling their story. And they discover that Jesus has also appeared to Peter. Clue number three. And while the two guys are telling their story, boom, Jesus appears in the room to all the disciples. That's clue number four. So, what might the clues be revealing to us? Well, let's rewind to where the original story went wrong. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day, he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees of the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we're not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it, because if you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you'll be like God, knowing both good and evil." Well, the woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. And then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you you were naked?" God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was a woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." And then God asked the woman, "What have you done?" The original storyline had become broken, corrupted, hijacked. In a different garden, at a tree, when a woman ate some fruit and gave some to her man, and their eyes were opened, but creation was now broken, and all humanity from here on out would die. But now in Jesus, a new storyline had started at a different tree that led to a different garden, where evil and death were overcome by life, where a woman was the first to encounter him, and he went searching for a man hiding in failure, and their eyes were open to truth instead of shame. Jesus had restarted or reset the storyline. A new creation had started. Something had changed. And like a sunrise, it was slowly starting a brand new reality over the darkness of old creation. The characters look similar to the age-old story, but God was making things new. Our person, our purpose, our perspective, the promise. Let's take a look. Number one, Jesus appeared to Mary. Why was a woman the first person Jesus appeared to? I wonder if it was because a different woman was the first person through whom the original mess all started. But now, in the new storyline, God was doing something new. God's new creation reality involved renewing our person. The first human who long ago chose self would now be the first to serve. Jesus gave her a mission. Go find my brothers and tell them. Number two, Jesus appeared to Peter. You know, I think there's a lot of Peter that looks just like Adam. Adam, who hid in the garden after his failure, after he failed to stand up to the accusations from a creature who was maligning the character of God. Peter had his own failure to deal with, denying his best friend, and yet Jesus sought him out. Jesus gave Peter a new purpose. And this happened in one of the later exchanges between Jesus and Peter. Jesus says to Peter, "You've been a fisherman up to this point, Peter, but now I'm asking you to be a shepherd. Will you feed my sheep? Will you care for what's mine instead of simply caring for what's yours? Will you show your love for me by loving those I love? You're not just going to live for you, Peter. Your purpose is going to be connected to me." Jesus restored purpose, not just to Peter, but Peter represented what God was doing for all humanity. God was giving humanity a new purpose, one in which we would no longer live for self, but we would live for him. It gets better. Number three. Jesus appeared to two more disciples. They were walking and talking with Jesus. They didn't even know it was him. He was telling them Bible stories, but it wasn't until they were eating together when Jesus broke the bread that we were told suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. See, in the original garden story, when humanity had chosen self over God, their eyes were opened and suddenly the knowledge brought them shame. But now, suddenly their eyes were opened, not just to knowledge that would enslave them, but their eyes were opened to Jesus, to truth that had freed them. Their eyes were opened to God's new creation reality. God was renewing humanity's perspective, how we would see ourselves, how we would see God, how we would perceive reality. It says he opened their eyes to the scriptures, in other words, to the story. No longer would we just view life from the perspective of me, 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 but we would now see that our lives are part of a much bigger story. He opened their eyes to the scriptures, to the story. But that's not all. See, in the original creation story, after humanity had wrecked everything, God didn't give up on his creation. Fast forward several hundred years, and part one of God's rescue and restore plan kicks into gear when God picks a man and makes a special promise to this man that his family line would grow into a nation. Now, this nation, Israel, would be God's light to a world lost in the dark. They would be God's promise that he hadn't forgotten about his creation. He hadn't given up on it. He was still working his plan. Unfortunately, these people didn't get it right. They didn't represent God right at all. They were actually still broken too, but that's another story. But here's the fourth thing that God renewed. When Jesus appeared to all his disciples who represented Israel, Israel who represented God's promise, one of the last things Jesus does after his resurrection and before he returns to heaven is Jesus commissions the disciples with a new promise, the message of God's original promise to heal, restore, and renew his creation through his followers, us, that together God and his people, through the power of the Holy Spirit, releasing new creation life and power and God's purpose into the world, this would give us a taste of what it will be like when Jesus returns again and all will be restored. Jesus has started something new, and he's not only given us a promise of new creation, but he wants us to be his promise of love, hope, new beginnings, possibility to a world in desperate need of healing. The good news for us is meant to be God's good news through us. There is a new reality, and we have a choice. See, where will we choose to live? Jesus' resurrection was not only the first sign of new creation humanity, but it was also the evidence that God was doing what he had promised he would do, make all things new. The beginning of God's great reset had started and is still continuing today. See, the power of resurrection isn't about Jesus someday or heaven someday. It's about the power of that new reality impacting our lives today. Will we choose to live in our new person, our new purpose, our new perspective, and let the new promise live through us? What do you need God to make new in you today?
We hope today's message encouraged you. If you want to take your next step in saying yes to Jesus, you can always contact us at cty.lc or fill out the Next Step section on the City Life app. It's an honor as a church to play just a small part in what God is doing in your life. We look forward to seeing you soon here at City Life.